This is the Culture Matters Podcast.
Hello, Culture Matters Podcast. Today, I'm very excited for who we have on the show. Why? Well, what we believe is that when people read to think, write to develop, listen to understand, and speak to let go, they develop more value for themselves and others. So the purpose of this interview is to help you, the audience, uncover your genius, because the goal is to make curiosity cool. Our vision is to be more open and curious and focused on creating the future. So our mission today is to have a conversation with someone of great, great, extraordinary brilliance. Janine.
Jay.
So right now, there's a video of you, 1.2 million views on YouTube. A year ago, you filmed it. What is the video and why did you film it?
Less than a year ago, it was in January, and it was a TEDx talk that I did, how five words can get you what you want. And I knew the night before that I wasn't going to be able to do all five words. I changed it to how three words can get you what you want. However, TED never changed the name of the talk, and they posted it, how five words can get you what you want. Something so simple. It was my third TEDx talk, and it went crazy viral. In 6 months, it hit a million people, which is big because there's a lot of competition out there online, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
And I believe it's because of something called an open loop was created. An open loop is a newborn baby cries and you can comfort the baby by, oh, it's okay. Our brains are created with an open loop to have other human beings fill in how I should be feeling. Harvard Business Review did a lot of research regarding this and has talked about it in Harvard Business Review, which is the number one thing that affects a family, a company, any team is mood. And mood is influenced by one another. It's like electricity going through a building. I say, I want you to imagine watering your plants. It's the hose watering your plants. If you have a bad mood, imagine you're pouring apple cider vinegar through your hose and hoping your plants thrive. Or you're pouring sludge or acid, and then you hope the plants and the flowers grow and thrive. It's not going to happen. If you can influence your mood is the number one issue that impacts a top line, the money coming into a company.
So you believe that the you not putting the five words influenced the mood of the people that were observing it, which made it viral?
I believe it creates this open loop. Okay. And this open loop is created where other people can fill in the data. And so what's happening is I create this open loop. It says how five words can get you what you want, but I only gave three. Everyone else is now chiming in, trying to close the loop. They're saying, oh, I think these are the five words. I think these are the three words. I think these are the five words. I think she clearly says here, they even put time codes. Time code here, 1 minute and 40 seconds in, it's word one. 1 minute, 52 seconds in, word two. And people, I'm not even chiming in. People are going back and forth trying to close this loop and they're not closing it because I'm not giving them feedback. And so what's happening is it's going viral. We think when we give someone information, we need to close the loop. I'm going to give you five quick tips today on how to make more money. We think when we run out of four, I better speed up and give you number five. By the way, number five is blah, 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 blah. Use Fiverr.com. Fiverr.com, you can get someone for $5 and they'll help you do a video. They'll help you with a logo. It's called Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R.com. Use Fiverr.com and you can grow your business. And you slide in that fifth tip. What you don't realize is if you just kept an open loop. Hey, everyone, we ran out of time. I don't have time to tell you number five. I'll be sure to share it with you the next time I'm back. You create an open loop. If you have open loops, people think about you. It is not closed. When I have the closed loop, people stop thinking about you. And now all of a sudden, you're the fifth loop. They're not going to buy your book. They're not going to buy your virtual training. They're not going to have you back to speak. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Comcast is a big client of mine. And I talked about when we shake our head up and down in the symbol of what we think of as yes in the United States of America, that symbol's what? When I nod my head. Yes. And yes is agreement.
Yes.
Would you like to go out for dinner? Yes. And we nod our head yes. What I say is there is a hand gesture that happens at the same time as someone, when someone shakes their head yes, that turns agreement to disagreement. And no one has ever told a hand gesture. If I'm nodding my head yes and say, yeah, that sounds really good. Yep, I'll do that project. Yep, I'll call that client. Yep, I'd love to go on a date with you again. What you're missing is this hand gesture that is happening at the same time that's turning my agreement to disagreement. And you walk out planning your Aruba vacation because you think you just closed this $6 million client. You walk out thinking, oh my gosh, I think I have a new boyfriend, and he never calls you back. What you missed is this hand gesture. I'll tell you through the end, by the end of my program, what this hand gesture is. In the meantime, see if you can figure it out throughout my program. What is the hand gesture that turns agreement to disagreement that we are all missing? And it's leaving money on the table and destroying relationships because of it. Guess what happens at the end? What? Do you think I give it to them?
No, it sounds like you create an open loop.
I never give it to them. So I'm at Comcast. Wow. I have three or four people came up to me at the end of my program in Philly. That's where they're located. This military. And they go, Janine, you forgot to give us the tell. What's the hand gesture that turns agreement to disagreement? Well, someone shaking their head, yes, but they do this hand gesture and it turns agreement to disagreement. What is it? Old Janine that has ADD and would have said, hey, I'm going to teach you these five things and just get to four and naturally forget to give you number five, would do in that moment, oh yeah, it's this. It's do steepling. It's watch out for shoulder shrugs. It's, and I would close the loop. My Angela would say, when you know better, do better. And guess what? People would never think of me again. They weren't buying my virtual training. They weren't inviting me back for extra keynote presentations. New Janine that understands open loops said, oh my gosh, you're right. We ran out of time. I could not talk to you about what the gesture is that turns agreement to disagreement. Make sure next time I'm invited back, pull me aside and remind me to start with that. It's complicated. I've got a video that goes with it. It's an exercise we all do. I just don't have the time to go over it with you now. Thank you for bringing it up. Make sure you bring it up next time, right in the beginning, and I'll start with it. Thanks for being here. And then I move to the next group of people. Guess what? Guess where I'm going to speak in a couple of weeks?
Where?
Comcast.
Oh, that's where we're at.
Comcast invited me back. The same exact group in Comcast with the military group invited me back 2 years in a row. Why?
Because of the open loop.
Because I left an open loop because there are people there saying, you got to bring her back. Oh my gosh, you got to bring her back. And it doesn't matter if I ever tell them what the hand gesture is that turns agreement to disagreement. That's irrelevant. What is relevant is I own space now in their brains. My friend Chris Ulrich, a fellow body language expert, would say, whether you like President Donald Trump or not, what he's done is he owns real estate in all the other world's leaders' brains, for good or for bad. People think before they shake Trump's hand, they think, what? I'm not going to shake his hand like that. He's not going to pull me in like that. An open loop creates real estate in someone else's brain that they keep thinking of you. And so now I'm invited back because someone probably said, oh my gosh, she was great. Bring her back.
Okay. So all of this brilliance, all of this knowledge, you are an individual that went to Massachusetts University for liberal arts and worked for the ATF. Where did you learn this?
By being a student of life, eternal student. I read every book that I can find, every virtual training platform I can get a hold of, whether it's Jerry Acuff, whether it's Brad Lee, the list goes on and on. And whether it's reading, I read Harvard Business Review, the magazine. It costs like $7,000 to get this magazine.
Wow.
And by 7,000, I mean like 27 bucks or something. It's insane for magazine cost. This body language expert I mentioned, Chris Ulrich, every year as a holiday gift, he buys a subscription for me for this magazine. It's the best gift that someone can give me. And I read it cover to cover. And I read it. And I'm one of these people, Jay, I'm what's called a high evaluator. So I take this nugget that's in front of me and I say, okay, how can I teach this in a way to myself first and then to others that it can be applicable, that you can apply it? I'll give you an example. That TED talk that we started off talking about, how five words can change your life or get you what you want. One of the words are these LY words, these wiggle words. I call them wiggle words. Hey, can I borrow $100? Typically, I don't lend money to friends. Could you tell me if I passed my exam? I know we're not finding out until next week, but could you tell me? Normally, I don't let the students know prior to the day that grades are posted. Hey, I'd like to get a raise. What can I do to get a raise? Typically, we don't give people promotions in the first year of working with us. Anytime someone says these LY words, I want you to start saying, that's suspicious. And so in the TED talk, what I did is I said, okay, how do I make this, how do I deliver this in a way that people understand it? So I had the audience look at the person next to you and say, tell the person next to you how many kids you have. If you have no kids, I want you to say I have no kids, but use that L-Y word in front of it. So ready? I'm going to say to you, Jay, typically I'm the mother of three sons. Now you say it back. How many kids do you have?
How many kids do you have?
No, no, you say how many
typically
kids?
Typically I'm the mother of three sons.
No, you. Okay. How many do you have? Do you have kids?
Typically I have, or no, I don't have
kids. Yeah, so say typically, usually I have no kids.
Usually I have no kids. Yeah, it sounds ridiculous.
It sounds ridiculous. You can't even say it. It's so weird. But when the work environment, when someone, a doctor or a professional says, usually we don't pay our vendors until the 30th of the month.
Okay, so are you saying that people should listen intently for that because it's that shows that that statement is as ridiculous unconsciously.
It shows it's not an absolute.
Okay.
So it shows that there's a different way. I'll give you a quick example. So I did in vitro. I used a donor egg for my two youngest sons, Charlie and Jack. The same anonymous donor egg. A 28-year-old school teacher was getting her master's degree, was getting married, donated her eggs. So it's my husband's DNA and this woman's eggs, but I carry the babies, okay? Charlie and Jack, my two youngest. When I'm pregnant with Jack, I go up to my doctor and I said, listen, did the other two families, because three families got this anonymous woman, 28-year-old school teacher's eggs, three families. Did the other two families have boys or girls? I want to know so I could tell my Charlie, my baby Jack, when he arrives, they have half brothers and half sisters out there. My doctor said, Janine, typically we don't give that information out. I clapped my hands and had you been there, you would have seen me and heard me say, fantastic.
Wow.
The doctor was confused. He goes, what do you mean fantastic? I go, well, wouldn't you agree I'm not a typical patient? He said, yes. I go, I don't want the typical result. I want the atypical. Would you mind sharing with me, did the other two families have boys or girls? He goes, Janine, the only reason we'd give you this information is if there was some type of genetic birth challenge. We would say, oh, we only want to have you have girls because we've had some of the other families had boys and had this genetic challenge passed along. This is what he says to me. I say, not a problem. I walk down the hall. I go to my nurse. Do you know what I said to my nurse?
What?
Hey, Dr. Blah, blah, blah just told me, typically you don't tell the families if the other families had boys or girls. Wouldn't you agree, Pam? I'm not a typical patient. She said, yes. I go, great. How can I find out if the other two families had boys or girls? Can I call you this afternoon or will you email me? She said, call me at 3 o'clock.
Wow.
I know Charlie and Jack. Charlie and Jack have one family has twin boys and the other family had a single boy. So at the time I was pregnant with Jack, which was now, I don't know how well this, I just turned five. Huh. 5 years ago, I was pregnant with Jack, 5.5 years ago. Charlie and Jack have two twin brothers out there, half brothers, and one single half brother out there. That's the wiggle words. If you can start to understand these LY words, you can start to know where there have been exceptions to the rule. And if you just push it a little wider, you can get exactly what you want. I'll give you an example. You know Brad Lee?
Uh-huh. You're friends with Brad. Yeah.
And I'm sure your listeners know Brad Lee. So Brad Lee, owner and CEO of Lightspeed, this virtual training platform out of Vegas, very handsome, fun guy to look at, and incredibly smart. Tells it, it's just a straight shooter. Puts it, his advice so simple that you can use it immediately and change your life, right? I like Brad.
100%.
I like Brad. Brad used to have a video podcast. He doesn't do it anymore because now he sells virtual training. And in the video podcast, he interviews a woman who's the fastest female runner in the world. And she says, now, how does this work? Do I need to buy the training and then you give me ideas on how I could use virtual training? Or do you bring someone in to give me ideas and then I buy the training? Brad said, usually what you do is you buy the training and we give you the ideas afterwards. I called him up when I heard it. I go, dude, were you thinking of bringing in, Brad, a creative team to give the fastest female runner in the world advice on how she could use this platform? He goes, yes. How did you know that? I go, instead of saying no, how it works is you buy the system and we give you ideas. You said, usually or typically you buy it. That's a wiggle word. He goes, Janine, we have a huge platform of celebrity athletes. And I have people who are in marketing and sales that could blow up her platform. But I felt like she didn't have the money to invest in the platform. So why would I pull my creative team and my sales team off to give her ideas when she doesn't have the money to pull the trigger? So I was having an internal dialogue. Should I or should I not? It's so interesting you picked it up with those LY words.
So LY means that you hearing that, that they are not it's not an absolute. So you can push with your language to find out more information. To
yes, create not your, all lie words.
Not all.
But think about it. I say ordinarily, usually, typically, normally, ordinarily. Those, if you went into the grocery store, and this is what I said in my TEDx talk. If you go into the grocery store and you saw, if you eat meat, hamburger meat or steak, and you see one steak, it says 100% organic. You see another steak next to it says typically 100% organic. Which meat do you buy?
Maybe not the one that says typically.
Not the one that says typically. This is what I do. I read Harvard Business Review. I read Malcolm Gladwell. I read, you name, if there's an author out there in a book about the power of persuasion, the power of influencing a room before you walk into that room, the power of emotional intelligence, I'm fascinated by it. My life's purpose is to inspire people to look at their world.
Do you remember a time when you did not read? Was it a experience?
Never. I've always done it.
First book, how
I've
old were you?
I've always done it. I was molested by a next door neighbor as a young kid. I was 6 or 7. Years later, at 15, a guy, 15 and a half, a man tried to kidnap me and throw me in his car. My mother, we were poor in Boston. I remember coming home from a grocery store, a very young girl, and I wanted gum at the grocery store. My mother said, no, we're poor. We can't get a pack of gum. I came back, and when my mother was unpacking the groceries, I went to my next door neighbor, Jean Perez's house, rang the doorbell and said, we're so poor, we can't afford a pack of gum. Can you give our family some money? He gave me $20. I came home skipping in the kitchen while mom's putting the groceries away with $20, thinking I could take the whole family to Disney World with this. And my mother was mortified, as you might imagine, made me return the money to Jean Perez and say, I'm sorry, I lied, we're not poor.
What? So you told the truth.
I told the truth.
And you got a result.
As a young girl, all the, you know, Steve Jobs would tell you, you know, you can only connect the dots looking backwards, not forward. All these little dots on deception and being taken advantage of and having my trust violated and people telling you one thing to get you to do an action. My mother wanted me to stop whining about the gum, so she just made up a quick little lie. And that quick little lie then has me lying, saying I'm lying. Like,
were you aware that you lied in that moment?
No, I believed my mother. I believed we were poor. I was little. I was like 5.
5
years old. I was so proud. I remember that day as if it was yesterday. And so as I started getting older in school, I'm like, I've always been fascinated about, I don't want to be a psychologist. I want to be someone who understands what makes people tick. And then be able to use it. You know, you hear a lot of psychology, change your behavior and you'll change your result. What's that bullshit mean? Like, but you know, tell me, stop her eating Hershey Kisses and you'll stop fucking gaining weight. Oh, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear.
It's okay. It's all right.
You can beep it out. So, you know, I take very complex studies and research and make it easy for your 10-year-old child to understand. So you can change. So you can have an impact in a room beyond your wildest imagination. You know, I always say, I talk about the marble. If a marble goes down this straight path on this track and it goes straight, the marble goes straight down this path. And this, you look at the same distance and you take, instead of the marble going straight, it's on curves like a roller coaster. The one that goes on curves gets to the end faster. And it's crazy because you look at it, it's like, no, the straight line is the perfect place. I look at those curves and say, how can I help people fall in love with the ups and downs of life? How can I help people see that the thing that drove them nuts, the thing that led to them crying, the thing that led to them making some poor choices in their life is actually the very thing they needed to push them to where they needed to be?
So do you look at what you've been through as the curves,
100%.
Giving you power and giving you strength?
It pushes me constantly. I'm a profiler in how we make decisions based on body language movement. My next challenge is a handwriting analysis. I want to get certified as a graphologist because handwriting is just like body language. People probably don't know this, but handwriting is a map of your brain. It has nothing to do with your hands. God forbid, Jay, if you lost your hands.
Almost did, actually.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You have to tell me that in a second. So if you lost your hands and had to start writing with your feet or your mouth, your strokes would go back almost the exact same as you used to write with your hands.
Regardless of the limb.
It is a map of your brain. In law enforcement, we use graphologists to do criminal profilers. We can tell your relationship between your mother and your father, you and your mother, you and your father. We can tell, are you moody? We can tell, do you have temper issues? Are you the type of person like, get to the point, get to the point? Are you the type of person that gets so close to success these are your downward strokes, your Ys, your Gs. If you have your Ys and your Gs and that bottom loop comes up to that line, instead of crossing the line and going up, you curve down. These are the people that get so close to getting the results that they want, and they say, I can't do it. I'm a failure. I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable.
On an unconscious level.
On an unconscious level. My favorite book out there is called, on handwriting, is Sex, Lies, and Handwriting. I forget who wrote it. Sex, Lies, and Handwriting. And if you can begin to think of handwriting as a way we are telling you about ourselves, I'll give you a quick example. See how you're leaning forward?
Yeah.
People can't see you. You're leaning forward in this interview, okay? If your handwriting leans forward, you're the type of person that leans out your hand and says, how can I help? You're interested. Now sit up straight. Nice and straight, like you have a stick up your ass, yeah. Right? These are the people that write straight up and down. These are the people that are all about the rules.
Can we get some of my writing and show really quick?
Yeah, I'll wait. Yeah, so all about, I got a stick up my ass, right? Now lean backwards. These are the people, when they write their handwriting slanted backwards, these are the people that are aloof. They're like, what's going on here? They're not even present. I'll give you an example. My friend Frank Marsh, who works for the FBI, he teaches handwriting. And he would tell you, you know the movie Old Yeller? It came out years ago.
Yeah.
Old Yeller gets rabies. They have to kill him. He's the family dog. They have to kill him because he has rabies. The person who leans forward with their handwriting is like, but couldn't we have done something for Old Yeller? It was the family dog. Couldn't you give him medicine? There must have been an easier way. Sit up straight.
Yeah, yeah.
The people who write with their handwriting straight up and down, these are the people, well, he had rabies. He needed to be killed. Now lean backwards. The people at home can't see us. We're leaning backwards in our chairs. We're spacing opposite one another across a little table that looks like a piece of wood and your computer's on top of it. Leaning backwards with your handwriting. These are the people that watch Old Yeller and say, there was a dog in that movie?
Wow.
Your handwriting is just like body language. It says more than you may think.
Okay, so here, you can't see.
So I'm not certified in this yet.
Okay.
I'm working on it. This is my new 2020.
Well, I'm
going
to give you a little plug. You Can't Lie to Me, in your book. I learned the felon's clause.
Okay.
There's plenty of, if you guys don't understand fully, purchase Janine Driver's book, You Can't Lie to Me.
Yes.
There's a whole chapter on this. I'm going through it now.
You are. Good. Yeah, the felon's clause.
I don't know. Yeah, hopefully there's no felon's clause in this.
Okay, so let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, you have trouble with boundaries. You have trouble with boundaries?
In what context?
Push, go. Look at your handwriting. So we naturally have a border on a piece of paper.
Oh,
incidentally,
yeah.
When analyzing someone's handwriting, you should do it with computer paper with no lines because the lines are directing you. But this paper I'm looking at right now has lines on it. And it literally has a border right here. And your words are coming into this border right here. Do you see this?
Yeah.
These are people that run themselves right off the edge of the cliff. Go, right?
100%.
They run themselves right off the cliff, right? You're not giving yourself some pause here. Also, do you have anxiety at all?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So we see that. So if you look at your writing, before you even read anything, as a piece of art, and look at it as if, forget it that it's words and letters that equal words, say, okay, this is a piece of art. Look at it sideways and look at it upside down. And say, if you were to attach an emotion to what you're looking at in this piece of art, what would you say? So this one piece of paper we randomly opened up to, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words crossed off.
Yes, yes.
And not crossed off with one simple line, but like you're pissed off crossed off.
Yes.
Like, fuck, you know? So look at this. Look at this. This screams anxiety.
If you go to the next page, it's the same thing.
Yeah, anxiety. Yeah,
which is why I started writing.
Yeah, look at this. This whole thing stresses me out to look at. This is,
And after I do it, I feel like I just copulated or something.
Yeah, look at this. And are you a rule follower or no?
Not at all. Not even in the slightest.
So look at that. I can see this right here in
we
this
create,
piece of paper.
Like, that's what culture is. You're creating the rules through purpose.
All right. So look, number one, you go into the border here on the right-hand side, okay, that we're supposed to have. Number two, you have choose to inspire.
Choose good in choose, spite of untruth.
So choose
that's
good
in
spite of untruth is what you have.
Yep.
You do not have it written on the line. You have it written. These lines are here, line after line after line, in a regular traditional notebook. You have this written in the middle of the line. Fuck the rules. I do it my way. Rules are made by man, not by God, and the rules are made to be broken.
That's what I believe.
Yeah,
that's the whole premise
right
of culture matters.
This is what I'm saying.
Wow.
Your
you proved it with the writing.
Your handwriting reveals. Oh, look, even here, you're going into the margins on the left side as well. Look at this. Massive, massive anxiety. Do you like being around people?
I think no.
So it's interesting.
So that's a tough question. That's
tough
for me.
What led you to hesitate there?
I'm unsure of the answer.
Okay, so your handwriting is on top of each other. This would indicate that you do like being around people. I'm curious, like, can you sign your name for me on this piece of paper? So how you write a statement or how you write your notes is different than how we write our signature. So show me your signature. How do you normally do it? Is this how you do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Do you think that this is clear to read?
No.
Okay. When your signature is not clear to read, these tend to be the people that like to wiggle out of trouble. Do you try to wiggle out of trouble?
Well,
let me put it this way.
It's hard to.
Is there a piece of you that doesn't truly want to be seen? Is there a side? It's like, I want you to see me, but I really don't want you to see me.
100%. Yes.
Yeah.
Without doubt.
So this, when you can't read someone's signature, or when numbers look like letters or letters look like numbers, this ambiguity that happens in someone's writing, it's, I don't want you to see me, or I have a secret, or it is, I like to wiggle out of trouble. So noticing that Elvis Presley, Elvis Presley had a huge, Google it. So for the people watching at home, you can't see me right here, but Elvis Presley's signature was huge.
Yeah.
Okay. Your signature is what you show to the world. Your handwriting is who you are. And so Elvis Presley's signature was gigantic. I am big, I'm famous, but his handwriting was tiny like this. And Elvis Presley used to pay his friends to stay over because he didn't want to be left alone. He felt small. So his handwriting was tiny and his signature was huge.
Wow.
When there's a disconnect here, it's who I really am is my normal writing, and my signature is who I want you to think that I am.
Powerful.
So this is just a splash. I find it fascinating, and I want to tie in the power of secret meaning behind words, statement analysis, and body language, and of course, graphology, handwriting.
What was the, because you were working for the ATF from 1992, correct?
Yes.
Right out of college.
Yes.
Until about 2008.
Yes.
When did you get your first inspiration to learn body language and then turn into more of a teacher to everybody, not just in tech?
That's a tough question. I probably have given different answers on this because I'm not 100% certain. In my late 20s, mid to late 20s, I took a class. It was a two-week course on cognitive interviewing. And the guy that created it is a guy named J.J. Newberry. J.J. Newberry is what's called a truth wizard. He could detect deception at over 85% accuracy. He's at the 90% mark. So J.J. Newberry, in this book with ATF, this big workbook, it said J.J. Newberry moments. And there were these words of wisdom from J.J. Newberry. And I'm like, I want to be trained by this guy. He's all over this book. Who's J.J. Newberry? So I tracked him down. I found a radio interview online of J.J. Newberry. I listened to it 55 times. I found out where he was nonstop, not even exaggeration of 55 times. I tried to memorize it. And when I see excellence, I watch it. You know, they say about 7 times to learn something. I watch it as nonstop until I've it memorized in my core. And I tracked him down. I said, listen, I want to be the next J.J. Newberry. I work for ATF. I'm an investigator in headquarters. I'm wondering if you'll call me back. I'd like you to be my mentor. I think it was numerous weeks, maybe even a couple months. And my phone rings. Janine, J.J. Newberry. I go, you finally call me back. He goes, I had to do some research on you. I called a couple people to find out who are you and what do you want to do with this information? Can you be trusted? I'm coming tomorrow to teach the State Department. Come at this hotel. I'll meet you there. I'm going to bring you in as my guest so you can watch me. And he taught me everything he knew. So I went from a classroom to asking someone to be my mentor to like a little puppy dog following around JJ.
So many people listening to this may be seeking a mentor or not yet maybe have ever thought of it. Maybe now they are. What is your advice to attract that mentor?
Okay, you like LinkedIn? Chris Voss, Never Split the Difference. Have you Googled when he's doing a live class in your town? Send him an email. Pick up the phone. Call him. You know, you'd be surprised how many people don't call the authors of these books that you love.
Did you hesitate at first?
And call? No, I did not hesitate. I'm what's called high in evaluating, high in determining. So I'm one of these people. I'm like you. Rules are made by man, not God. So I challenge conventional wisdom constantly and go after whatever it is that I want. My mother always said, no is the beginning of negotiation. So don't be afraid of no's. And so I've always just pushed myself, whatever it is I'm interested in. And find a book you like or article and Google the person.
What is your process for reading and learning? Do you do audio? Do you do written?
No,
like reading
not
physical
audio.
Books? Do you do books?
I like physical. I don't have online stuff. My books are online. It's not my cup of tea. I want to highlight it and underline it and circle it and go back and use it immediately. This is another thing. Best way to learn is, we all know, is to teach. And as soon as I learn something, I say, okay, how do I make this? How do I turn this into an exercise that people get? Like at that TED Talk where I'm like, say I usually have no children. I typically am the mother of three sons. Once you realize how stupid that sounds, the next time someone says, typically we don't pay until the 30th of the month. Great. Wouldn't you agree? I'm not a typical client.
What are the other two words in the talk? Because you said the first with the L-Y.
So what I said in that talk was, decidedly because changes what was. I'm big on rhymes. Decidedly, L-Y, decidedly because changes what was. And what that means, and if I could go back in the talk, I would clearly say it, but maybe it's a gift that I didn't. Decidedly because changes what was. Changes what was means you're going in one direction. Normally, we don't pay until the 30th of the month. You're going in one direction, but using the word decided and this word because, you can change the direction. So decided is one of my words. The L-Y words, not all of them, but usually, typically, normally, ordinarily, some of the L-Y words. People are like, those are adverbs, or like giving me a lecture on English. And I want to say, yeah, that's why you're not giving a TED Talk. That's why you don't change lives. You're correcting my grammar and telling me what it is, and you're not inspiring anyone to look at their world in a different way. I'm not an academic. I'm a blue-collar kid from Boston.
Well,
I say things wrong.
Such a profound thought, because grammar is order. And if you're creating disorder through their non-absolute, then they're wrong no matter what.
It doesn't
matter. It's brilliant.
Grant, watch, listen to anything by Grant Cardone. Grant Cardone stayed up one night, wrote this book that was full of advice that could change your life, and it had 75,000 typos in it, and people emailed him constantly, hey, page 94 is a typo. Ask him. He didn't give a crap. It was about getting the concepts out there. He doesn't care that there's typos there. People get hung up on the perfection of it. I don't get hung up on the perfection.
So the decidedly because, once you hear the non-absolute, like the L-Y,
yes.
What are you doing? And you're deciding to go another route, and
so,
then you're saying—
So two things. So yeah. Decidedly, these are the two words that decide, the word decided and these L-Y words. These are the two words that indicate there's wiggle room here.
Oh, non-absolute.
Those are the non-absolutes.
Got it.
The solution is to use the word because. Okay? So the solution is to use the word because. It's, you know, A plus B, to get the result, you have to use C. So whatever that is, that equation.
Got it.
So I want you to imagine, when I talk about in the talk, I give some examples. I decided to go in a different direction. It decided does not mean it's been executed on. And what I give in my example is, think of how many of you at New Year's decided to do something.
Yeah.
You decided to lose weight. You decided to stop smoking. You decided you're not going to date this year. You decided you are going to date. You decided I'm going to go to therapy. Whatever it is you decide, right? Have you decided something on New Year's?
No.
Yes. Never in your
life.
In the
past, of course. Yes.
In the past. Every time did you do it?
Most of the time, no.
You may have started and then you fail and you don't complete. Yeah. The statistic is through the roof. It's like over 90% don't do it. Decided does not mean executed on. And people mess this up all the time. We decided to hire another vendor.
Powerful.
And you go, oh, okay, think about us next year. Really? Or you could be like Tom Brady in the Super Bowl in 2017 in overtime, doing the impossible. The New England Patriots, you know, beat Philadelphia in overtime. And was it Philly? In overtime. Who was it?
I'm the worst football, but
Well, it wasn't Philly. Whoever it was, they beat him in overtime.
Well, so
it's
any salesperson listening to this that hears when they're following up, decided.
Right.
That means that listening to this one conversation, your talk, they can move forward and change their whole life in sales.
Well, not change it. At the very least, you should be saying, how far along are you in that decision-making process?
So your recommendation is to keep digging and asking questions.
Right. Have you already sent the contract to the other vendor? Have they signed the contract yet? And then you might not be the person that can save this sale, but you know who is in your company. There's someone that works with you that could go in and do the impossible. And you know who they are, and it might not be you. You bring that person in and say, help me save this sale. I've helped clients save million-dollar contracts by understanding this simple fact. Decided does not mean executed on. I decided to break up with my boyfriend. I decided to break up with my girlfriend. How many times did you fly out there and then you didn't break up? Well, I don't know. Wow. I changed my mind. Decided is in the middle stage of decision-making. There's three stages: research, reasoning, and result. Decided and the LY words are roommates. They are cousins in that middle stage of decision-making, which is reasoning. It's the result that's the most important. Have they executed on it? And you can influence the result by understanding the secret meaning behind these words. Are you following me?
Are they basically in an open loop in their own mind? Potentially?
Yeah. Because I think that's a good open way to say it. Yes, 100%. They're open loops that you can
close. Yeah, I'm learning right now in this moment with you.
Additional stimuli. So my example in my TEDx talk is you go to the grocery store. The first thing you do, you go up and down the aisles. You're researching. You know, you're looking around. You're finding where's the cereal? Where's the milk? Now you go to the second stage of decision-making, which is reasoning. Reasoning is, oh, do we get regular milk and just go organic? Or should we just go, let's just do almond milk. Let's start to transition to almond milk. And here's why. You know, it's not a good idea to eat cows, drink cow's milk. And I want to start eating healthy. And it has fewer calories. And I'm doing keto. And I can mix it with my, that's reasoning. But you get all of a sudden, you put it in your cart. But you get to the checkout line and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to do the almond milk. I'm not going to do it. And you put it back. Just because you decide it and you put it in the cart and you start moving closer to the finish line, last minute before you put your credit card through the machine, you say, I'm not going to get milk today. I'm traveling over the next 2 weeks. I'm not even going to get milk at all. Please put this back. Decided does not mean the result.
So right now, everything that you've learned the last 2 years, because we've been able to build a relationship over the last year or so, correct?
Yes.
I've seen, I had the pleasure, everyone that is listening, we were at, one
Body
of your
Body Language Institute Master's Class, yeah.
Body Language Institute Master's Class, extraordinary weekend. What really shocked me, I guess, culture shocked me, was your addition and additive to emotional intelligence and the honesty that was spoken and literally watching people's lives change.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to that
in your journey? Since you've been here in March. So I've not talked about emotional intelligence. I one of my top clients is a company called Kronos, and Kronos has hired me, I don't even know, 15 times over the last 4 years. And they hired me a huge contract for multiple events. And I'm like, wow, I really got to kick up the ante. And what is it that companies need to be looking at? And so I take the pulse of what's going on in the culture and look at what is Harvard Business Review publishing? What is it that people are interested in when it comes to human behavior? And this emotional intelligence is never going away. It came out a while ago with Daniel Goleman and it's blowing up. I think more than ever now, especially with our culture being the way it is, Democrats hate Republicans, Republicans hate Democrats. It's really ugly on both sides. And what both sides lack in many cases is emotional intelligence. And emotional intelligence, to make it simple, is self-awareness, social awareness, self-adaptation, and how do you inspire people to be the best versions of themselves? And if you look at those four elements, that's where I live. I live in body language. I live in statement analysis. I live in, you know, I always say, do you want to be right or do you want to be effective? And once I could take this umbrella of emotional intelligence, it's changed my whole entire program. So much so that Kronos is signing another contract in next week or in the next couple of weeks. We just sent it to them. They want to bring me in again. When you chunk it up to emotional intelligence, it affects everything. Statistics on emotional intelligence are through the roof. If you have low emotional intelligence, you make an average of $30,000 less, $29,000, than your counterparts or people in the same positions as you. If you have low emotional intelligence, the likelihood you have happiness in your marriage tanks. It tanks. You have major problems in your relationships. The percentage is through the roof. And if you have low emotional intelligence, the likelihood you increase your risk of heart disease goes over 30%. And your risk of getting cancer goes to 70% if you have a hairline trigger. If you have a temper that that triggers off because you have low emotional intelligence and you just respond, and you are a hothead like I am, you increase your risk of cancer by 70%. And if I can get you to understand why emotional intelligence matters, then you'll be invested in, now I'm ready to learn. What am I saying without saying a word? So many people come to me to read others. And what they learn ultimately is, yes, how to read others is great. However, to change your life physically and mentally, it's understanding you better, that element. And I now tell really vulnerable, embarrassing personal stories that aren't easy for me to share, where I have to, and people in my family have lost their cool on me. And normally I would say the meanest thing imaginable and go for the jugular.
Wow.
And in the last year, even people who know me well will say, what's going on? I go, what do you mean? They go, there's just something about you. There's a calmness now. And it's working on being interested instead of being interesting. It's working on what might be happening in that other person and how can I bring the best version of me to the table? And that's emotional intelligence. And I have found tons of videos, whether it's Steve Jobs, who's incredible, answers this really tough question when someone attacks them with absolute grace and high emotional intelligence after a 13-second pause. It's unbelievable. Or Serena Williams, who lost her cool and broke a racket and lost her point, and the audience is booing for the winner of the big tournament. Like, and Serena Williams has her hand on her hip and attitude-y, and she's pissed, and somehow finds the ability to tap into a pause and emotional intelligence and empathy, and it changes everything. And it's changed my life to take what I know with body language and statement analysis and reading people and to chunk it up to this level where it's literally saving my life or taking days off my life. There's this great quote I love. Whatever you're doing today, make sure it's worth exchanging a day of your life for, because that's what you're doing. No one knows who said it. Whatever you're doing today, make sure it's worth exchanging a day of your life for, because that's what you're doing. Me losing my shit because you betray my trust or you did something to let me down is not worth exchanging a day of my life for. To take a negative on the health factor in my life, to get one step closer to having heart disease or cancer, it's my life's too important. I have three sons. Emotional intelligence is not a choice for me. I had to dig deeper on what is it and how do I tie my stuff into looking at it from a bigger view.
So you particularly started in the Body Language Institute in 2009. Fast forward 10 years, you are one of the top experts in the world for body language. Where or what or how did you have the courage to add another tool after, I would think, just observing outside in, it would be so easy to just stay the best of the best. Like, so where did that come from? Was it an experience with it?
I think I'm just an eternal student. I know I don't know it all. And I love learning new things and I love tying those new things into what I do know. And I'm like, wow, it's like, if I just gave you flour and sugar and said, make something with it, you could probably make something with flour and sugar. But now I give you eggs and now I give you cinnamon. And now I give you, a year later, I give you vanilla. And a year after that, I give you an oven.
Huh,
yeah. It's like, holy shit. The more you know, the more delicious life is. And sadly, in my world of decoding and influencing human behavior, many people believe their way is the right way. It's all about micro expressions. If you know micro expressions, you can read and influence human behavior. It's micro expressions matter. Body language is bullshit. Statement analysis is bullshit. It's all about statement analysis. It's power of the words. If you understand the hidden meaning behind words, you can persuade and influence human behavior and decode it. It's all about body language. It's all about, I say, you know what? You make the best cake with all the ingredients. Do you want to ride a car that just has a frame and four wheels? Or do you want to ride a car that has a frame and four wheels and four doors or two doors and a nice paint coat on top and a fancy motor on top? Why do you buy a new car every 4 years? Why aren't you driving the same car you drove when you were 16? Why? Because it's better. Because new information has come out.
Wow.
It is faster. It is stronger. I was taught years ago that you could tell if someone was lying based on eye movements. I was taught that by my mentors at ATF, and I taught it to others. Later, we'll find out it's bullshit. Huh. Amy Cuddy at Harvard did this TED Talk, one of the most watched TED Talks, and her research about when you stand with your hands on your hip and you take up space, it decreases cortisol by 20% and increases your confidence hormone, your testosterone, by 10%. Or whatever those percentages are, versus when you implode and get small, your testosterone tanks and your cortisol increases. Guess what? Researchers couldn't duplicate Amy Cuddy's studies. Wow. It couldn't be duplicated. But yet her TED Talk goes crazy viral. People teach it like it's fact. David Matsumoto did a study, small little study. 93% of what we communicate with others is nonverbal, is what he discovered. 7% of our words matter, 55% of our body language, 38% of our tone and pitch. I used to teach 7% of our words matter. The rest is nonverbal.
Yeah,
it's bullshit.
Yeah. Terrible advice.
I wrote a book and the guy who did that study. I just said his name, I think. But anyway, the guy who did the study about 7% of nonverbal communications. 93% nonverbal. I'm forgetting his name because I'm exhausted. No, David Matsumoto is someone else. I probably said it wrong. Anyway, I contacted him and he's like, no, that's a very limited study. It has to do with emotions. And people take that study out of context. And what happens is you read it in a book and you think it's fact, and now you reread it and reread it. I'm all about challenging conventional wisdom. And there's always a better way. There's a better cell phone than there was years ago. There's a better car than there was a year ago. And I know as a fact there'll be a better way for me to communicate to my husband, to my kids, to my dad, to my clients. The more I know, the more I grow.
Do you, on the doorstep at your neighbors, you chose to tell the truth that you didn't have money and you asked for it. Mm. You chose good. Mm. That scribble that I showed you, we randomly went to the wrong page and we couldn't read it. It says, choose good in spite of untruth. Mm-hmm. It's about that. Mm-hmm. That's giving me like chills right now. Yeah. So, okay. you can't lie to me, everyone. Yeah. I'm reading that now. I love how it has so much density in
it. It's too much. My editor told me it's four books in one.
Court. Yeah, which is amazing value. So I'm going to shout that out.
Yeah, thank you.
You say more than you think.
Yeah.
Where else can people find you, Janine Driver?
I have virtual training online. It's called bluestreaktraining.com. Blue streak is a bolt of lightning. It changes the direction of your life. When there's lightning outside, you get off the golf course and out of the pool. So bluestreaktraining.com, and they can access my training there. And I come home with them. And we work one-on-one together, personally and professionally. And you want to know about the difference between fear and surprise? Good. Let's spend some time hanging out there. You want to know why you have people in your life who are angry and you've done nothing to them? Well, guess what? Anger is a secondary emotion to fear, anxiety, and sadness. Maybe your son isn't angry. Maybe your son is anxious. And instead of you loving him and saying, you're important to me and you matter, you're screaming back at him. All you're doing is pouring salt on the wound. You're pouring salt on the wound. Men and alpha females and boys often show anger, anxiety, and sadness. I mean, fear, anxiety, and sadness as anger. So that's one of the lessons in there. You know, we can work on that. Maybe you are constantly angry. I had a guy come up at my event recently, Jay, and I know we're out of time here. And he said to me, gorgeous guys, which is probably a hashtag Me Too thing to say. But he's gorgeous, 6'5", 6'6", handsome guy. And he came up crying. And he couldn't even get the words out. I go, what's going on? He goes, my wife has brain cancer. We have 5 kids together, 4 kids. I forget what he said. And I go, so sorry. He goes, no, let me say this. She's had it for a year. And all she does is yell at me and yell at the kids. And all I do is yell back. It's a constant scream fest. And I'm walking out of here today realizing I haven't been a good husband. And I certainly have not been a good father. To change the lens and imagine my wife, instead of screaming, saying, I'm terrified, I'm scared, I have this thing in my head, help me, help me, help me. I would have never screamed at her, knock it off. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to watch. I'll stay out and drink whatever the fuck I want. Instead of being angry at my wife, I'm going back with compassion. Huh. And I'm going to go back and show my kids, mom's not scared. Mom's not angry. Mom's scared. It's changed everything for me. So come and play with me online. People can see me. I do a free show called The Celebrity Lie Detector. I'm turning it into the Janine Driver Show instead because I have way too many brands. Blue Streak, the Body Language Institute, Celebrity Lie Detector. You know, I want to make it really simple. go to YouTube. It's free. Type my name in, Janine Driver, CLD, Celebrity Lie Detector. I've had 15 episodes, each have 3 or 4 segments, 20 minutes to 60 minutes long. There's over 100 hours of content on YouTube, so you can get it that way. If you want to pay for it and come become part of my network, then visit bluestreaktraining.com. If it's not your cup of tea, then I'm not your cup of tea. You know what? My friend would tell you, you know what? Stop getting mad at the giraffes because they have long necks and the elephants because they walk with a heavy step. I might not be your people. I'm a giraffe. Actually, I'm not a giraffe. I'm a, what's this called? The animal that goes
unicorn?
Like this? No. The crazy, Bradley likes them.
Rhino.
I'm a rhino.
Yeah.
I'm a rhino. I'm the ugly unicorn. It's the ugly unicorn. I'm a rhino. Stop telling me to stop stepping so heavy and needing a lot of attention. Stop being so powerful. How about I won't get mad at you for having a long neck and being a giraffe, and you stop getting me to change, and we just meet each other where we're at. I might not be your people, but I might have something that can change your life.
Janine, thank you.
Thank you, Jay. If they could see us at home, they'd see we're crying. We've got tears in our eyes.
Everyone,
why? I have menopause.
You.
What's your excuse?
Culture matters.
Culture matters, buddy.
Love it.
Thank you for listening to the Culture Matters podcast. Remember to read to think, write to develop, listen to hear what is unsaid, and speak to let go. If you want to dig deeper, check out 30 Days of Thought on Amazon.